Put a new focus on our forests, I think, in terms of shared stewardship agreements and the health of our forest, as far as the economical impact of our forests as well. They're all folding into policies that I hope are going to, lead to reduced wildfire risk and lead to better forest health, and then also lead to support for our vital Montana timber industry, because they are also a part of overall good forest health. Welcome back here from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana. No, we're not in Morocco anymore. We are in Helena, Montana, as our great governor of the state of Montana, Greg Gianforte, joins us to talk about this shared stewardship agreement with the U.S. Forest Service and a guy named Tom Schultz, which is kind of funny, Greg, because when I worked for Congressman Reberg several years ago in Missoula, I used to, and I had a government address, I used to get emails for Tom Schultz. I don't have a cell phone number, though, or I'd be calling him.
Tom, it's good to be with you.
Thanks for coming on. Do you want to give me Tom Schultz's cell phone number?
I can if you want.
Oh, that's great. We'll do it. Yeah.
He said that when he grows up, he wants to be on the radio.
Oh, well, he shouldn't grow up then, because that would kind of disqualify him.
No, we were thrilled to have him in Helena last week.
Yeah.
This is the other Tom Schultz, the chief of the Forest Service. He runs the entire Forest Service in the United States for Secretary Rollins at the Department of Agriculture. And this is really, as you pointed out, this is a big deal because we have a forest health crisis, not only in Montana, but across the country. And, the state, we manage about 5 million acres, both grazing land and timber land. And I'm kind of biased, but we do a pretty good job. We do sustainable yield. We keep the forest healthy by removing excess fuels. Oh, and by the way, we make money doing it. So last year, we transferred $92 million of funds from our management of state-owned land to our public schools. This keeps property taxes low. And I had this idea about a year ago and said, hey, the federal government loses money on every acre. The state makes money on every acre. How about the state manage more of the federal land? So I called Chief Schultz, and last summer we signed a first-of-its-kind 20-year agreement with the Forest Service where the state acts as the designated manager of federal land for the benefit of the people of Montana. And we did that last summer. What we announced on Friday when Chief Schultz was here in Helena, we've identified an initial 400,000 acres that the state's taking over management for. This is going to give us healthier forests. It's going to reduce wildfire risk. It's going to create jobs. Oh, and by the way, it's going to pay for our schools. So it's all good. And this is the beginning of an entirely new model on how we're going to manage forests here in Montana.
That's what I'm most excited about as well, because I think we have come to know that we need to do a better job in that regard. What was the mechanism that allowed this agreement? Was there a program initiated? Was there a policy? What opened the door for Montana that might open the door for other states?
Well, there's really two things. One is this, it's called a stewardship agreement. It's really a contract between the federal government and the state where they delegate management authority. Now, this tool has been on the books, but like the tool was in the toolbox, nobody ever pulled it out.
Yeah.
So we went in, grabbed it, and said, hey, let's move forward on this. And under this stewardship agreement is another authority called the Good Neighbor Authority. So it's really the combination of those two pieces that allows us to get work on the ground. And Tom, I'm telling you, we've already started the first project. We are reducing fuel loads, improving forest health, and creating jobs in our communities under this authority, first one of its kind in the country.
I'd like to have you kind of talk about what happens with better managed forests as well. I think we have talked in the past about, if you draw a line between a managed forest and an unmanaged forest, so to speak, or a state forest and a federal forest, you can see what's a healthy forest and what's not.
Yeah, it's really stark. I've seen situations, it's most stark when fire moves through the landscape, because in a managed forest where you've thinned it out, this is not clear cutting, but we've thinned the fuel loads, we've cleaned up the forest floor. When a fire comes through, it burns the grass and the twigs that are on the ground, but it doesn't get up into the crown. And as a result, the trees survive, and a year later, it looks healthier than it did before the fire. When a fire hits an unmanaged forest, because of the excess fuel loads and the proximity of the trees to each other, the fire often gets into the crown, and it burns extremely hot. And what happens is when it burns really hot, it literally sterilizes the landscape, and nothing's going to grow there for 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
It looks like a moonscape. And if you get out on the landscape and there's a managed forest next to an unmanaged forest, and fire comes through that, a year later, the managed forest looks healthier than before the fire, and the unmanaged forest is literally a moonscape, nothing green anywhere to be seen.
And with that, I mean, I think there's more and more evidence that is coming in front of people here. I'm curious as to your take, because we've seen environmental lawfare, radical environmental groups have had a lot of power. I believe that's with sometimes misleading arguments in some ways when it comes to overall forest health. But it seems that the pendulum is ready to move back a little bit toward forest health, which includes a pretty robust timber industry as well. Are you seeing that? Do you think that happens in the courts with these environmental groups and certainly parties on both sides of the aisle?
Well, I think people are seeing the benefits because in addition to the fire resiliency, when you manage a forest, what ends up happening when you just thin it out a little bit, sunlight gets to the forest floor, you get grasses growing. Now you have habitat. The elk and the deer are in those forests, and you can hike through them. When you have a tangled mess of down timber, there's no opportunity for recreation. The habitat for deer and elk has been nearly extinguished. So a healthier forest, everybody benefits. There's more recreation. You get wildfire resiliency. There's more habitat for the wildlife and creates hunting opportunities and hiking opportunities. So everybody wins. And I think that, I can't control what the nonprofits do. There's people out there that all they do is sue people. I'm not sure we're going to correct their ways, but we're going to do the right thing for the people of Montana.
I appreciate that. Governor Greg Gianforte with us, Montana's 25th governor, took office in 2021 as well. Economic development, workforce development, this forest management and wildfire prevention. That was a big part of his tenure as well as a U.S. congressman for Montana's at-large district here. We have to talk about a third grader named Blakely Wagner because she kind of impressed you with a request. And not only that, so much so that you went and visited her classroom and declared something in her honor.
Yeah, this was a treat. I got this letter from this third grader from Bonner Elementary School, Blakely. And it basically said, Governor, I think third graders are special. She is a third grader. I saw another state designate March 3rd, 3-3, as Third Graders Day. I thought it was a great idea. So I went to her classroom and read a proclamation and declared March 3rd, just last week, as Third Graders Day. And she was standing right next to me, and what presence she had. She was very articulate. And when I got done with the proclamation, I said, Blakely, is there anything you want to say? She goes, yeah, I'd like to give a little speech. And she says, I want to thank you, Governor, for doing this proclamation for all third graders in the state of Montana. And on behalf of those third graders, I just want to say you've made us very proud.
That is an excellent statement, too, Blakely. Congrats. I don't know if she's been coached into that, but you just get a sense that she's kind of just got that sense, right?
Well, I praised her and her class for their willingness to get involved civically. And my message to them was very simple. Your voice is important. And whether it's a third grader, a high schooler, or anybody else, that's the role of government, is to listen to the people and act accordingly. She took action, and I wanted to recognize that and encourage her and her classmates in making their voice heard. That's how we raise up citizens that are a productive part of society. It's just how you become a good citizen.
Boy.
And then we had a little Q&A with the third grade class. We had a little civics thing. The first question from another third grader in the class was, because they weren't sure what exactly was going on, they said, what does a governor do anyway? So we had a chance to talk about the three branches of government and the fact that, you know, the governor is the executive. We get to run things, but I can't spend money that the legislature doesn't give me. That's the check and the balance. And then what do those people in the black robes do? We talked about that a little bit, and it was a good lesson.
Did you get, did a fourth grader then? Have you gotten letters from fourth, fifth? I might send you a letter, too.
Well, I will tell you, one of the other questions that came out of the third grade class was, is there going to be a fourth grader
of course.
Day on April 4th? And I said, no, this is just for third grade.
There you go. Yeah, be special. Yeah. I appreciate that. You know, and maybe just talk about how important that is, you know, from your role, right? There's a lot of things you make decisions on, policies and budgets and this and that. But when you get a chance to speak to children at that age, it's a golden opportunity, isn't it?
You know, I have kids into the Capitol all the time. And if you're out there and you're a teacher or you have a student, come see us. I'm meeting with a group today from a rural community. We opened up this new Heritage Center in Helena. I'm really proud of the fact that not a dime of taxpayer money was spent on this during my term. We ended up raising $60 million privately to build this Heritage Center on the Capitol Complex to really highlight Montana history and to showcase the Charlie Russell paintings that the state owns. It's really fabulous. We got Netflix involved, designed some of the exhibits, and I have a class coming in here in a couple hours. I'll visit with them. I love doing that. Just giving them the time and letting them know that, you know, part of being a Montanan, part of being an American citizen is you have to be engaged in the public process, and their voice is important.
Yeah. And then to have success at a young age, too, that just solidifies, you know, that it can be done. I got to ask like about a minute here, too. We just spoke with Real Montana Leadership Program. They're in Morocco, agriculture and resource education. Maybe talk about Montana's agriculture in relation to international countries as well, because you have been one of the leaders in our state government to get Montana in front of more and more of these international businesses.
Well, our farmers and ranchers feed the world. We export an awful lot of grain, pulse crops, beef outside the United States. This is why I've made it a priority during our administration. Our first foreign trade mission was to Taiwan. They, even though they're Chinese and Chinese love rice, they now eat more grain than they do rice in Taiwan. And we're happy to supply it. This past fall, I took a bunch of our farmers and ranchers and technology entrepreneurs to Japan and Korea, again, to expand these markets to make sure we have strong foreign markets. And when we feed our friends, it makes the world safer, too. Also, we took a number of coal interests there to those markets. We've been keeping the lights on in Taipei, Seoul, and Tokyo for decades, and that's an important part of exporting American freedom into these markets that respect the will of the people. So this is very important. I'm sure I'm going to have additional foreign trade missions while I'm still in office, because we got to make sure that we continue to expand the markets for our farmers and ranchers.
Yeah, I just think we see a good return on investment with endeavors like this. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte. Greg, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate that. Say hello to Susan. Thank her for keeping the kids reading. And someday a proclamation. No, I'm not going to go there. For loudmouth talk show hosts, would that be something you could do?
Well, no, I think you have enough of a platform. You can make your own proclamation.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, thank you very much. Hey, Greg, be well, okay? Thank you, sir, for your work and service.
Thanks, Tom.
Yep. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.